This is To The Point. A Rhino Experience. Voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts. Cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It is your boy, Chris Yano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast, along with my co-host, Mr. Tall Paul Redman. TP, what's up?
Chris, it is always a pleasure. Happy New Year by the time that this thing posts. Chris, what's the big, this is kind of derailing us already. What's the big plan for you in 2022? Anything exciting coming down the pipe? Kind of throw you out there under the...
No, actually, coincidentally, I just did a podcast on goal setting, which means I had to have my goals in place because I'm known for accomplishing goals. I take pride in that. I have some big plans next year, this year, 2022, and it mostly is around how much can I, of course, number one, give. How can I give back more? And also, what can I accomplish with this business? And so I've got some, I got some big 2022 plans for the business, and I'm excited.
Happy New Year
to come along. So happy New Year to all the listeners. Happy New Year to our guest, Mr. Wyatt Hepworth, who is the CEO and founder of AnyHour Electric Plumbing, Heating, and Air. But guess what? Back in the day when the company started, that wasn't the name. It was something a little bit different. But first, we'll let our guest talk about that. But let me go ahead and welcome you, Wyatt, to the podcast. Appreciate getting you on here, man.
Hello, Chris and Paul. Appreciate you getting me on here also. Yeah, I've been a fan. So enjoy listening to all the educational information you're able to achieve through your interviews. It's pretty awesome.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Wow. 2021 was an exciting year for you, wasn't it?
It was a great year. Yeah, we had a lot happen.
It was all right. It was okay. It was a good one. For all of our listeners, I told you we were going to have some great guests on in 2022. And I'm telling you, if you don't know why, you're about to find out why he's on here and the phenomenal company that he has built and is continuing to build with a lot of integrity and a lot of great knowledge and wisdom you're going to get from him on this podcast. We're excited to finally have him on here. You know, I think, Wyatt, the first time your and I's path crossed was, Paul, see if you'll remember this, was I believe it was when we, so we had Goodrich on for our one and only live podcast. The
first
one
and
only time we've ever done it. Yep. And so I remember that we had let the listeners submit questions, and Wyatt had submitted some questions.
That's right.
And then as I go back and look at those, because I keep all the show notes, as I go back and look at those and I understand what has since happened with Wyatt, it makes perfect sense on why he asked the questions he asked. So somebody was doing his homework. Well done.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I sent in quite a few questions there. That was pretty awesome.
You did. That was fun. That was a good time. It was. We've only done it the one time. It actually is quite a bit of production to do, but it's more of the keeping the comments, I think, in line. I think we got like spammed or something. I don't remember what it was, but it was crazy. So I don't know. We'll do that again. So I want to go ahead and just take a quick step back. Now, I know I was talking about, the name of the company is different. I never said where it's located. You're actually in Orem, which is essentially Salt Lake City area. Even though AnyHour as a whole is much larger than that. That's where you're at. That's the company you've grown. That's where you're from, is that area up there. But why don't you go ahead and let our listeners know just a little bit about you, Wyatt, and then kind of how you got into the trades. And then and you can actually take that really all the way up until present day, because you got some big plans. You still got some big plans going on this year.
We do. We really do. So to start off, so just about 6 months ago, myself and Jeremy were the only partners in the business. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I was the only owner of this business. And today we have 41 owners from AnyHour Electric Plumbing, Heating, and Air that are actually owners of the business. So it's been a fun year to have people that have worked with me by my side for a lot of years, and that they're actually owners of the business now, whereas 6 months ago they were not. So, but to back up a little bit here, I got in, you were asking, how did I get into the trades? So I actually started as an electrician. My dad and grandpa owned the company Hepworth Electric, which was started in 1961 by my grandfather. They were really good tradesmen. They did not know how to run a business, though. In fact, my dad really didn't want to run a business. When I first joined with my dad about 28 years ago, my dad didn't have a home phone, didn't have a company phone, didn't have a pager, didn't have a cell phone, didn't have any of those things.
And it was just handshakes.
he put bits together on a 2x4, no joke. No joke, or a napkin, or a piece of cardboard with a pencil, with like a carpenter's pencil. He'd put the bid together, but he had no phone or anything. So it was all word of mouth and face to face. And I come up to only work with him for the summer. I really didn't want to be in the trades. You know, I saw my grandpa and dad never really could make a living in the trades. I just really didn't see it as a place I wanted to be. And so anyway, but I worked with him for the summer, and I was 21. So, and I was like, wow, this is actually fun. I literally have it, but we were shingling. We were fixing fences, doing concrete work, finishing basements, sheetrock, plumbing, heating and air, electric. We were doing everything. My dad can do anything. He can build a vehicle from scratch. I mean, that guy is so talented.
What's your dad's name?
His name's Terry Hepworth.
Terry.
So just a talented guy, but he really didn't want to build a business. He just wanted to do just little stuff. So anyway, in fact, he even had lost his electric license. He was a general contractor. So my grandpa had retired, and my grandpa still had the name Hepworth Electric, and my dad was running Terry G. Hepworth Contractor. And I said, Dad, I want to build this legacy back up. Grandpa's retired. My grandpa never made much money in the trade either. But he kept the name Hepworth Electric, started in 61. So we pulled that name in. My dad, obviously, in Utah, did I share my name? Sorry. Did I share my name?
Not yet. I shared it for you. I shared it for you, but
you did. Okay. All right. So those of you who don't know me, Wyatt Hepworth out of Utah. So anyway, I wanted to be an electrician. I really liked that. When we were doing all the different jobs, I wanted to do electrical, and my grandpa was an electrician. And so that's what I wanted to do. So we got my grandpa's license, put my name on as partner, my dad's name as partner. I got a phone number and started advertising, and we grew to a few people, and my dad didn't really want anything to do with that. And so he left. Go ahead.
When was that? What year was that?
Wow, that was 95, 96, right in there. Okay. So he didn't really want much to do with it. So anyway, I signed over any debt and all the debt in my name and just took off. I put myself into electrical school and got my res journeyman. Within 4 years, I had my res master. My grandfather passed away just after I got my res master. And I ended up getting my regular master a couple of years later. I really loved electrical, built the biggest new construction electrical company in the state of Utah, to about 60 employees.
Okay, hang on, pause. Sorry. I don't mean to cut off. I'm actually like watching the timeline go here. Okay. That was a lot. And so, at this time, are you single, married? That's okay. I'm just trying to understand what's the business and the family look like, family life look like at this time.
Yeah. Very good point. Yeah. So within 1 year of moving up here from Southern Utah to work with my dad, within 6 months, actually, I found my wife and married her. So pretty quick. Her name's Samantha Grimsley. She's from Louisiana. And so anyway, we started our family quick. So about 10 months later, we had a baby. Baby girl.
When you know, you know.
We knew. Yes. And so I have my wife by my side, had a wonderful daughter. I have now four daughters. Pretty fun. And we also raised two foster boys that were handicapped, and raised them from the age of 8 on and 11 on, Hunter and Enrique. So anyway, so I have two sons, four daughters, awesome. And a wonderful family. Been married 27 years now. So,
atta boy, 27 years. That's super cool. Listen, I didn't want to miss out on that story because I think it's important to understand. I think a lot of listeners run into the same thing, trying to run the business and then maintain your family. That whole balance is so incredibly important. And it's easy. It's easy when you're trying to run the business and grow, and you clearly have a tendency to move quick on things, it seems like, between, yeah. You know, and that's, I think that's a great quality to have, by the way, too. But it's easy to get wrapped up in growing the business, and you're focused on the business and the intent is good. You're just trying to create, you know, this life for your family, and your family kind of gets hung out to dry a little bit, not intentional. So I think it happens, but it's important to understand your story and know that you're doing both of those things too. So as you're going through this process, I just want our listeners to know, like, you're doing this alongside of this gigantic family. Like, Paul's got four kids. I got four kids. So we've kind of been down that path as well on trying to make sure that we're running and going and also, you know, balancing. So keep on with the story. Okay. So you have, because I'll be curious to know when the actual name change comes in, and that's going to be a part of the conversation. So if you want to hang on to that for a little bit, you can, but let's go ahead and do this. Let's just go ahead and roll right into, what is the business? I don't know where you just stopped your story at, like what the year mark is, but if you can give us some timelines, that would be helpful.
It's 60 employees, new construction. What year was that?
Yeah. So by 2005, we had grown it to a $4 million new construction electrical company doing all residential at about 20 to 22% profitability.
Nice. 22 points. Sweet.
Yep.
And then what?
And then I really do agree with family is very important. So best way to spend time with my family is have my wife come work with me. Right. So anyway, so wife comes into business and she starts doing the books, and she's a smart gal. She's went to BYU and you know, has done real well in schooling and in business. And so she came in, she did our books and has really been a big part of our business up till about a year and a half ago. And she's retired now. So, but she's been in the business, and I don't, any of my hobbies, it centers around family. I'm either working or my hobbies are with my family. So we're going to go there with my family or my team. So I go four-wheeling with my family or with our employees, our team members, our managers. You know, whatever we're doing, they talk about work-life balance. And I really think the best work-life balance is have your hobbies centered around your family and enjoy the people you work with. So that's what I've done, is make sure I'm enjoying the people we work with. I always said to our managers, let's build something that we want to work in, build something we could sell if we wanted to, but build something so that we don't want to sell it. So that we want to work in it so badly that we wouldn't want to sell it. Right. So 2005-ish, we actually joined ESI Clockworks, met Terry Nicholson, Jim Abrams.
Oh yeah.
And that's where the name change came. So we changed to the red trucks and rewrapped everything and changed the name to Any Hour Electric. And we grew that from 250,000 of service work to 2 million pretty quickly. Kept the new construction. That fluctuated in between 2 to 4 million at the time, depending on the economy. And then 2008 hit. And so we had a lot of contractors not pay us. And so I got out of new construction because all of a sudden it wasn't profitable and was losing us money. And so we got rid of that, but we took 3 years to let that go. And we joined Nexstar in 2008. And we started visiting a lot of different shops, and they were doing plumbing and heating and air. A lot of them were not doing electrical. So they kept asking me, when are you going to start heating and air? When are you going to start plumbing? And I noticed they were bigger than us. So I went back and started taking employees to different companies. So we went to companies in Seattle. We went to companies in Colorado. That's about an 8-hour drive. We started listening to the book, Good to Great. We'd drive there and back. I'd take employees out there for three, four days in a row. We'd stay in a cheap hotel. And literally, we'd go to Precision, we'd go to Applewood, we'd go to Plumline, we'd go to AAA out there. We just went to all the companies. I just have my guys ride along with their people, and they'd sit there and mentor me and taught me how to do plumbing and heating and air. And so we came back, started that in 2010, and grew the company. We in the process of getting rid of new construction, that took a lot of my time, especially saving a lot of employees. We dropped the service down to 1.5 million. And then ramped up from there, and we haven't gone backwards since. So we've grown in the last 10, 11 years. We've grown from 1.5 million all the way to looks like we're going to be 73.5 to 74 million this year at well over 20% profit. So we're in about 16.5, 17 million in EBITDA just out of the one location. So
out of one location.
Well, that's fantastic.
You know, it's so interesting, quick comment, that you talk about how instrumental it was to set feet in the other shops across the country and visit with people. And it seems like that is one of the most like time-tested ways that companies can get inspired and get the wisdom and best practices to bring into their own business. What do you still have the practice of that, or has that changed? Just curious what that looks like for you.
Yes, we go to a lot of companies. Plus, we've also opened our doors to anybody and everybody. So we have, even though we're part of NextStart and we're not with Clockworks right now, that could change, but we're also part of Praxis. Even though we're part of those groups, we subscribe to Joe Casera, Weld Along, Service Roundtable, but we let ARS come out and see us. I've had ARS companies come out and see us. It's an open door. We just let anybody come out. We even let some people might think we're kind of crazy. In fact, if you want to know, some of our own team members, managers, might even have thought over the years that I was giving away too much. But I just believe in sharing. I saw my grandpa and dad not be able to retire, and my grandpa retired stopped working and lived in a teeny tiny trailer. And the only way he could retire is he traded his trailer to my aunt for their smaller trailer and some cash. And the guys worked hard, and it's this construction's tough. And anyway, I just believe we only have one life to live. So I just believe in sharing. We share and share and share. We have companies coming in every single week. We've had that happen for about the last 8 or 9 years. As we grew and actually became bigger than the companies that we were going to visit, they started to come to see us because they're like, wow, what are you guys doing? Because we were going out learning from them, but coming back and implementing, learning what to do, but also some things not to do. And so they started coming out to our place. So we have companies every single week coming to our business. We do a tour, we share with them everything we do. We did that before we even knew that we were going to be a platform company, which we did this year. And we did that before we even knew we were going to do that or any of that thing. So we've just got a lot of friends from around the nation that we just help out of the goodness of our hearts. And we do the color code in our business. We shared that with NextStar. We do a lot of things in our business that we share with all these companies. What's really cool is when we share these things, it comes back to us. NextStar is heavily involved with character code, the color code, the DISC personality test. They've actually taken things that we shared and other NextStar members have shared. And I love it because when we share, they actually do things with that and make it even better, which comes back and helps us. It might come back to our competitors and stuff like that, but it also comes back to us, and we're truly making the industry better and making stronger companies and so on and so forth. So
many questions. Chris, did you want to grab this or
Can I start?
Yes.
You said a few key things I wrote down. I want to bring up and then ask, is you had mentioned, I'll tell you what, a quick shout out to Jeremy, Lincoln, and Mike on your team. And I'm sure they're probably part of some of that, like wondering, are you sharing too much? We bring our own competitors on the show. Because here's the deal. I agree with you. I think that I like to share as well. But the other key word that you said was implementing. And this is typically where the hiccup comes in, is even though you share, implementing is a different story, right? Like you got to be able to take that back and actually do something with it. And that's typically where most don't do it. Like even though you've shared all this information based on facts and things that you've done to move the business forward, there's execution that has to happen with that. And And then there's learning from that execution on how you execute. So I think that's actually a great place to be. And I believe in everything kind of comes back around full circle. You know, it's good to give, it's good to share, and good is done to you. And you had mentioned, you know, you kind of slipped in there, and we haven't really talked about it, about being a platform company. And I don't want to talk about that right now, because I'm going to talk about it a little bit further down our conversation. But one thing that you did say that made me think about this, especially with that extreme, like in the fast growth, is, and you mentioning Nexstar, is do you have some sort of technician training in-house that you're doing, like the Nexstar model that you brought in-house and implemented? Are you doing that stuff internally, like for all services, any of the services? What does that look like? In home services, speed to lead is everything. Chirp stands out by transforming your communication strategy. With Chirp, accelerate your lead response time with instant SMS text messaging, email, and ringless voicemail automation. Chirp's cutting-edge technology ensures you're the first and the most persistent, helping you close more deals than ever. But that's not all. Say goodbye to missed opportunities with Chirp's incredible follow-up system. Keep your leads engaged and moving smoothly through your sales funnel without lifting a finger. And with Chirp deep integrations with top CRMs like ServiceTitan, HouseCall Pro, and Jobber, you can launch laser-targeted campaigns to connect with the exact right leads at the exact right time. Automation creates efficiency. Efficiency unlocks scalability. With Chirp, you can automate speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, rehash, abandoned call follow-ups, canceled job follow-ups, review requests, outbounding to your list, annual reminders, membership expiration follow-ups, and so much more. So stop chasing leads. Capture them. Connect faster and close more deals with Chirp. Contact Chirp today and elevate your communication game.
That's a really great question. So we believe every single employee needs to be trained every single week. So we have 4 leadership trainings. See, a lot of companies forget about the leaders and managers. We have 4 manager trainings every single week. We split our managers up into groups and we train them every week. We have a 3 or 4 tier level of managers that can train that in case certain people that are training that are out of town. That training happens. Every manager gets a one-on-one. Every employee gets a one-on-one. We have a one-on-one. Jeremy, you mentioned him, a phenomenal guy, owned his own business many years ago. About 14 years ago, he gave me I invited him into a training that we had in-house that we had Clockworks come out and do for us. And Jeremy was so blown away with what we were building here that he, within a few months, he had let me know that he had a stonemasonry company and he's willing to shut that down. He was looking for a new avenue. I was down there to Southern Utah. It's about a 4-hour drive. And I was down there within 3.5 hours. I have a fast car. So I was down there within 3.5 hours and had an offer for him. And within 3 or 4 months, he was back. He was up here, moved his family up and started working with me. You know what? We're that 73.5 to $74 million company, but I think without him, we might be 50 or 60 million. And wow. And you brought up Mike Wilson, you know, but back to Jeremy, he's an implementer. He's just so phenomenal at implementing and you know, you were bringing up Chris, you're talking about, you know, they're showing people what you do, but then they have to go back and implement the processes and do the hard work, right? Well, Jeremy is that guy. He can come back, implement those processes and make it work. Mike Wilson can market. That guy is a great marketer. He's been with me for many, many years and he's a self-taught marketer, but I think he's followed your work and vice versa. Yeah. And I know we're talking to you about opportunities to work with you guys, especially as we're growing this nationally. So we're pretty excited about that. But Mike's really he's just a hardworking guy and very creative and brilliant, and he's a tracking process guy. He just tracks everything. We're running things at about 5%, 6% marketing for our company with organically growing 17, 18 million just this year from the one location. And he's doing that with that low of a marketing budget. So he's just a great marketer, very creative at making radio and all these things work. So what's that?
I was just saying that's so good. So, you know, shout out to Mike. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, he's been able to connect a little bit.
And then Lincoln, our CFO, was able to get him in here many years ago. I actually interviewed him about 10 years ago. He talked his sister into not coming over to work for us. So I had to bring him in and show him what we were building here. I'd love to take you guys on a tour sometime if you guys want to come on out. But I had took Lincoln on a tour. He was blown away. We're about a $10 million. We're about a just under $10 million company at the time. We weren't quite able to afford him yet. And within 2 years, we were able to afford him. We grew it enough that we could afford him, and we brought him in. So he went from talking his sister into not working for us to he's in here working. But the guy, the guy can run a billion plus company. The guy really is that great of a CFO. So really believe in our people. We've got many more great people that help us build this company. But back to trainings, every manager's trained, every employee's trained. We're actually doing we have Brett Knapp. He's our VP of training or employee relations. He's been with our company for about 16 years, I think. But he does a service system type training that's more catered around our business. It's a 4-day training. We call it a 5-star training. And everybody in the company goes through that training every single year. And it evolves and it grows. But it does not take the place of the Next Star or the Praxis or the Joe Casera Weldon Long trainings. It's, you know, we really believe, and all these guys teach, you know, you've got to go to these immersion trainings and then come back and do continued educational training throughout the year. And that's what separates us. However, the year we went from 18 million to 25 million, which was about 5 years ago, I think it was, that year we did lean heavily on Nexstar. I was out of town about every other week, and Brett was with me for a lot of those. They had to start having an observer table at the back because we were out of town every other week to a service system training. We were at people's shops having those trainings. We were at the Nexstar headquarters. We were in hotels, and we took almost every technician and field employee to the Nexstar training. And that's the year we grew from 18 million to 25 million. The next year it propelled us all the way to 35 million. So we basically doubled within a 2-year period from 18 million to 35.2 million. So that happened through Nexstar trainings and through really implementing and discussing out there with our people what we're learning and coming back and actually putting it to work and being out of town almost every other week. And that was fun. That was the last year that Julian Scadden was actually training, which was fun. He's now the CEO of Nexstar, right. But that's the last year he trained. So we got to go to a couple of his trainings. Keith Mercurio was doing one of those. You know, it's just a lot of fun. Dave Bodak, Dan Friesen, you know, just going to all these guys' trainings was just a ton of fun.
Dang. I love the weekly the different trainings. I think that's exceptional. I mean, that's way more than I would have expected. I think that it's going to be a necessary evil. I think not even necessary evil. That's not the right word, but it's certainly going to be necessary to scale your business, to kind of have those things. And it also breeds a lot of accountability when you have that type of training ongoing, and you have to try to keep doing better than the next guy, because that's doing the same thing in the same location, you know, and a lot of times it's going to require exceptional leadership to kind of get them through that, because there's only one of you, Wyatt, and, you know, there's a lot of hands, you know, that have to be in that growth and managing that growth and the constant education, the constant making sure, like, there's still the making sure the employees feel good, a piece about their job, you know, like the culture piece of it is important. And you constantly got to be learning. You know, you mentioned Joe Casera. I was grateful he invited me to go and speak at his True Grit event. And I was telling them, you know, complacency has no vacancy is something I kept started throwing out there, is that's where you start to lose, you know. And Julian, you talked about Julian as well. You know, Julian's been on the podcast with Paul and I before, and then he came out to the Rhino. He was at Rhino X last year. And so I was able to connect with him some more, and he and I hit it off pretty good. And it's kind of the same thing. He kind of believes in that same methodology. Like, you got to keep training, getting better. Keith, same thing. Keith's been on. We love Keith. Keith holds a near and dear place in Paul and I's heart. But it's phenomenal. You know, he's a phenomenal leader. All great guys, and all things that you have to do to make your business move forward. Because there's so many businesses doing the exact same thing in the exact location. What sets you apart? At some point in time, it's got to be more than just, it can't just be a race to the bottom on price either. So it has to be something more, value, education, meaning, whatever it is, but you still got to have a lot of training in place and leadership. And I believe that, like, even with Rhino, we developed Rhino U for one reason. It's merging into something else. It was really to cross train employees because they had an interest in learning other positions within the company to understand their jobs better and how they communicate with one another. And it's since turned into an incubator for us. We're bringing in people who have no experience, and we're creating them and training them the Rhino way of doing things. And that way we're incubating our own employees. So I just essentially took the same model from the home services space, that even like the Nexstar, the tech training stuff, and then worked it into my own. So you mentioned a couple names there, and I want to segue into this real quick. Is you had mentioned Terry Nicholson.
Yeah.
And we had him on, I don't remember how long ago that was, Paul, a few months back.
Yeah.
Terry will be participating in Rhino X, which is, I'm super excited about, because I know what he's opening with, and it's going to be amazing. But you know, did you have any other, was there any other like major influencers or like mentors that you used along the way that you might even still lean on? I'm certain you've probably become a mentor to some, but do you still have someone, and who's some of those that you used along the way in addition to Terry?
Absolutely. Yeah. We had, Terry Nicholson out here a year ago, and he did a big training for our managers for an entire week. And we were able to increase our profitability substantially through that training, which was awesome. It wasn't a set training. It's something we just set up with him, and he was willing to come out. That, I think it was maybe a year and a half ago. That was really awesome. So I still look up to Terry. I feel like he's a mentor to me. He's a coach, but we also have our coach with Nexstar, Brian Buckley, who actually used to work for Terry Nicholson, small world, right? So he's right here in Utah, up in Logan. We're actually getting ready to open a location in Logan, one in Ogden, and another one in St. George. So we're really going to build out Utah within the next 6 months to a year. We're expanding here heavily under the Any Hour name, greenfielding those. But also Jack Tester, he was just out here, about 4 months ago, did a big, awesome training for us, for our managers. See, if we don't continue to raise our managers, John Maxwell talks about the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. If we don't continue to raise ourselves, Good to Great talks about the great leaders always were continually making themselves better to qualify themselves for their position. If we don't help our managers do that, then our people outgrow us. We have over 90% retention because we really care about our people, and we continually help our managers become better. And we put a big emphasis on retention and recruiting. Retention even more than recruiting, if you want to know. So we had Jack Tester out here about 3 or 4 months ago.
Is he just doing private consulting now, or
what is he doing? He actually works in Nexstar as a leadership coach for business owners and managers. So that's a new direction they're going, which we're very excited about that. But he was out here and did a really awesome training with our leadership, and character code and color code were a big part of that, which was really cool to see that's something we do heavily in our business. Everybody takes the color code, and it's about self-awareness and understanding who we are as a person so that we can relate better with others. But anyway, so it was a phenomenal training. But then there's Lisa with Nexstar does a follow-up training that's ongoing, and they have some tools that we're using to develop our leaders for these new locations, to have general managers for these new locations, service managers, office managers, all these different managers. So it's quite cool the direction they're going with that. But what was really cool is we took Jack on a tour here, and he'd been here when the year we hit 35 million, but it's changed a lot in those few years of growth. But he did a tour, and the biggest supplier in the whole state is across the street from us. And Jack, and we take up a block and a half for our building. And Jack said, oh my goodness. He said, if Frank Blau would have ever been, he probably could have never imagined an electrical plumbing heating air company, a plumbing company, is bigger than the biggest fly house in the whole entire state, which is fun. You know, what I think is pretty cool is as an electrician, we're the biggest plumbing and heating air company in the state. And we're double the size of our nearest competitor, which is pretty exciting. So yeah, and still growing. So we're excited about that.
I love it. Good for you. You had said, and I can't remember exactly where I read it when I was doing some prep for this podcast, but it just kind of goes in line with my next questions. But you had made a statement that said, there are things you know, there are things you think you know, and there are things you don't even know that you don't know, as a comment that you have made. And so what are some of the, what are some of the biggest lessons that you've learned along the way? And is there any one or something that you're like, that you could attribute the success to, or maybe like the biggest success to, or some, it could be multiple things, but what would that look like? What is that? Like, what, I mean, you hit a stride and you probably realized something. And then you hit it, and now you really get it, and like the wheels are turning. I mean, you hit, well, at one point it was new construction is gone, and you were focused now on the service side of things too. But what is that? Like, what are some of the biggest lessons that you learned along the way that our listeners could take away?
Wow, biggest thing I think I've learned over the last 10 years is that I don't have the best plan or the best idea. But that doesn't mean I'm in the way. That doesn't mean I'm not valued. And I hear so many business owners, they grow to a point and they say, oh, I just have to get out of my employee's way. I don't agree with that. I believe in getting out of their way, but I also believe in working hard with them and saying exactly what I think and being clear with perspectives and input. So I give brutal feedback. But I love the person I'm talking with, and I understand that the way to give that feedback is not in a group where it belittles them. So I've surrounded myself with very powerful leaders, very awesome leaders. I'm really good at not taking the credit. I'm good at giving them the credit for their hard work and for the good things they do, because they do great things. But we're talking one-on-one. I'm building them up to others and supporting them and giving them the funds, the tools and anything they need to succeed. But then I get out of their way. So I'm kind of like the gutter rail things you put in a bowling alley, for kids. I'm kind of there.
And Paul.
And me. I'm kind of on the side. I'm working with them, but they're definitely bowling strikes. And we're talking about how to improve. And I'm open to their feedback. So I'm very open to feedback. I'm really open to improving on a daily basis. And again, I surround myself with really great friends, Jeremy, Mike, Lincoln, Brett. I can go on and on and name Matt Hansen. You know, there's just so many people that work in my business. Troy. I think I sent over saying, hey, you really ought to interview a few other people in our business, because there's a lot of stories. And what you'll find is I'm not the most dynamic person in my business. These guys are very dynamic and they have their own skill sets, but they value me and I value them. So what's the biggest thing that I think I've learned is valuing people, loving people, but being honest with them and letting them know how they can improve, and making sure that's not a quick judgmental kind of conversation, but an actual building experience where I'm building them, challenging them, helping them be better, and they're building me and challenging me and helping me be better, and that we still love each other at the end of the day and understand we all have value. And I think color code's been a big part of that also for a tool. Color code has, I don't know if you guys have taken that at all. Have you guys done that?
I have not.
No, as I was going to ask you, explain for those who don't know what it is.
It's online. I would do the paid version. If you don't take the paid version, I could probably guess your color code, by the way. So anyway, but it's something we have everybody take. It's not based on whether they'll get hired or not. But if once we're interested in someone, then our interview process is a multiple day event. It involves a tour. Everybody's invited, customers, people. We don't screen anybody. We have tours 4 days a week. That are happening. And what's really cool is all of our employees, they actually see all these people coming through. We'll have anywhere from 5 to 30 people come through. And so our employees will see 30 people walking through the trainings. We have trainings 4 days a week. So literally they're seeing all these people walking through on tours during their training. And they're like, wow, so many people want to work here. And it's literally 4 days a week, five to 20, we've had as many as just under 30 in one of those tours, which is quite a few people to tour around the place. But anyway,
make sure I understand that. Is that that's an employment tour? So
that's an employment tour. Yeah. Yeah. So we just show them the whole business, but it's really catered to employment. We show them the parties we have. We have a lot of parties, a lot of events. We have videos of those. So they see a lot of those things. It's a lot of culture. Some people, they know it's going to take a half day. So they'll actually take off the day of work to come in and interview. A lot of them will, or they'll come in and for an hour or two, and then they'll reschedule for a longer day. But anyway, we never hire someone on the spot. It's always sell them on the business and help them see what we have. But the question was, I think your question was, remind me of your question. I was answering it there.
That's okay. I'm just saying we were talking about, what do you attribute to the success and lessons you've learned? And you're talking about the trusting people and stuff like that.
Yes. Yes. So what's really neat on the color code. So that's what we're talking about. So anyone that gets past that first interview gets to take the color code. So the color code is reds are driven by power and A to B. Blues are driven by relationship, loyalty. Yellows are driven by fun. And whites are driven by peace. And so we have them each take the color code, and each person is going to have 15 strengths and 15 limitations. And I think that has been a big tribute to our people to be able to understand each other and work together. And they don't make excuses for each other. Like at the first, they used to say, he's being red. He's just A to B. That's why he's running over you. Or he's white. He's a white personality code. So that's why he's not saying what's really on his mind. He's just trying to keep the peace. Or he's a blue. So he's just a little emotional on the emotional side. Or he's a yellow. He has too much fun. And they used to do that, but now it's evolved that when people take it, everybody, they understand themselves and they understand, hey, so we understand the yellows, or they understand if they're not having fun with this career working here, they're not going to stay. So we got to make sure yellows are having fun here. Work can be fun. If they're a white personality code, we need to make sure they have a peaceful environment where they're not feeling beat up all the time. They're not feeling challenged all the time, where they're very logical, but we need to make sure that they have that environment that they can enjoy their career. If they're red, let's make sure they're getting A to B. Let's make sure we're growing. Let's make sure they see upsides. If they're blue, make sure they have relationships. Most people, the most common color code is a blue. So most people in the world are blue. But anyway, that's really helped us. There are the 15 limitation words and the 15 strength words. And those words also make it so, you know, someone sees that they have some areas to improve on, right? Or because all of them have 15 words that are negative or limitations.
Are those known among the other employees? Like, is it publicly known who's what profile?
You know what? They share that with each other openly, but it's not something we share around. Yeah. The managers do have that, but we don't discriminate at all on color code, nor do we hire based on color code. It's just a tool to understand how to, and it's really a tool for them to understand themselves. What's really neat is when our employees go out to a customer's home and they can see that they might not be able to do as well with maybe a red personality or with a yellow or whatever. And they find that they need to make some adjustments, and they start talking to each other saying, hey, I can't seem to be able to sell to a red personality. What do I need to do? And they start improving that way. Plus also the 5-star training dives into the color codes and how to work with customers and how to work with each other through understanding each other and ourselves best.
Yeah. In the spirit of robbing and duplicating, and I can share this because this is another NextStar member, and I know you guys share openly. Chad Peterman has the DISC profile on his wall, and his employees are plotted. Their pictures are plotted based on their DISC assessment. So you can walk in and see, you know, the profile. So before I want to transition, you talked a lot about the team that you've built around you. And I want to transition to talk about how you've made them partners and owners in the business. But before we get there, I want to make an observation. So you showed up today, and we jokingly were talking about being, you know, the best dressed person in the room, and you're wearing a tie. And it doesn't seem like you accidentally put on a tie. So Do you wear a tie every day? And if you do, is that part of setting the tone for the culture of your business? Or tell me about the tie.
Yeah, so I do wear a tie every day. Our managers wear a tie every day, a white shirt and a tie. Yep. And we kind of got that from Jim Abrams back in the day. He was a big proponent of wearing a shirt and a white shirt and a tie. Actually, he was a proponent for a red tie. So that was something he did. And then he also was big into shaving. And with the companies that we're bringing in around the nation, their culture stays their culture, and we value their culture. They don't need to wear a tie. If they want to, they can. But in our actual one location and what we build in Utah, and Utah is a little different culture than a lot of places around the nation. We do cover our tattoos. We do shave every single day, no goatee, no beard, or any of those things. And we wear a white shirt and tie for the managers. And it has set us apart, with being able to negotiate with vendors, marketing, whether that's marketing vendors, whether that's material vendors, we set ourselves apart. And I've noticed lawyers and attorneys or whatever, they're not dressing in a shirt and tie. They're trying to dress down. But we've been doing this for about 14 years. 14, 15 years, we've been dressing in a shirt and a tie. And that's just what we do. And it kind of throws the interview process off because not off. It kind of sets us apart on the interview process because these people come in construction and they're willing to shave to join our company. They're willing to cut their hair. We actually have a line of people trying to get into our business. And that's been the case for quite some time. I actually recruited from the time that we were a 1.5 million company to 35 million. And then I turned that over to Dustin Van Orman, and he recruited from 35 to where we're at now. And then we brought in Josh, who was a big recruiter for an electrical national company that had over 1,000 employees. Wow. And him and his team are coming in. They know how to do it nationally. And so they're helping us do it nationally, plus doing it the way Dustin and I do it. So we're bringing that together because we see being a platform, the biggest thing people are having a hard time with that we don't have any struggle at all with is hiring and retaining. And so we see that being an area we can really help people around the nation, is helping them recruit and retain their employees. We can also help them through Nexstar and through Praxis, but Nexstar is built out more than Praxis for training out technicians and everything. So through Nexstar, we can help them, and through our own ability, we can help them with trainings, help them know how to implement those trainings when they go to those trainings. So it's not just going out, but coming back and making it actually do something with their revenue, their profitability, and so on. And then we really feel like, with marketing, especially since I'm real excited actually to join with you guys, Mike and I both talked about it last night in depth. We really feel like we can take that marketing nationally and really help people with the marketing side. Especially going national like we are. We really believe we're going to be 300 million top line by the end of next year. We really expect within 5 years to be a $3 billion company. And we really expect to be a $5 plus billion company within 10 years. I'm in my 40s for another 9 months. So Jeremy's 41, Lincoln's right there, same age, Mike's 44. We're right there in the prime, 35 to 50. And yep. We just feel like we've got a lot of room to grow and a lot of room to keep improving. And we have a lot to give to all these companies that come in with us. We're very pro-employee, very, very pro-owners, and we want to help them buy in some of their key people. And we really think we can give them those tools to recruit, retain, help them with marketing, leadership training. That's a big one. Everybody seems very excited about joining us because of the leadership trainings that we've developed and built out. We believe that's something we've taken above and beyond any platform out there that we help everybody out with. So we're just excited, very engaged. I work every day, 5 days a week and an occasional Saturday. Sunday's always off. But I come to work every day and wear the shirt and tie.
Rock the tie.
Yeah, that's what that's about. So,
well, I failed at all three of those, by the way. I have a goatee. I have a do not wear a shirt, button-down shirts and ties. And I have a few tattoos. So I failed all three of those.
I have a tattoo also. I keep it covered. But, you know, and maybe things are changing in Utah. It's becoming more and more conservative. So, or not conservative, you know, more and more. It's I don't know the word for it. But anyway, it's changing. It's changed part of it. So maybe we're going to be changing those things over time. So, you know, I think we need to watch that and not be, you know, and we just implemented a new one that Mike Wilson was really big on. We decided this last year, if you have a logoed shirt, you don't have to wear the tie. So Mike's been taking me up on that a lot.
There you go, Mike.
I don't have to anymore. So
good trade off.
Paul's got a tattoo too. It's on his lower back. he used to have a tattoo on his shoulder, but it's gone now.
It's gone.
Okay. Hey, listen, guys, we're like 50 minutes into this thing. We're almost an hour in already. Can you believe that? So I do want to talk about this because you mentioned platform a couple times. You can clearly tell your excitement and your passion for the business. Like it comes out of you so natural. Like it's just, and you can hear the excitement in your voice, like the passion, the whole thing. So it's crystal clear. I'm guessing our listeners certainly can pick up on that too. Business is hard. It's hard to grow business. It's challenging. It's fun. It's rewarding. All these things, and then you have a moment as a business owner, or a decision you have to make. Once you hit a certain level of how do you go to the next level? How can you get from 10 to 20? How do you get from 20 to 50, 50 to 100? Like it starts becoming clear the bigger that you get. I've learned those things, but when did you make the decision that you were going to do this cash, you know, this raise the capital to try for expansion with your partner at Knox Lane?
Yeah, 5 years ago, I was cornered at a super meeting and somebody that had just had a deal happen said, you need to come meet with Ken. It was actually a meet with Ken Haynes. The wrench group.
Yep.
And I told the person, it was Jamie Domenico, actually out of Florida. He said, why? I think it was 5 years. It might have been 4 years ago, but it was probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Hey, Jamie's listening to this for sure. Well, shout out to Jamie.
Oh yeah. Hello, Jamie. Yes. And Jamie's a good guy. I was in the weight room. He waited till no one was around me because I had the managers were in there working out with me and some of the managers were. So anyway, he kind of waited till they weren't there. And he mentioned to me, he said, what? He said, Ken Haynes wants to meet with you and you've got a great business. And he let me know what he had done, what he did, and that he was now partners with them. And, you know, we've been good friends with Plumline. And so Plumline, Jeff Belk over there, Bob Logan, you know, John Heggie, those guys are real great friends of ours. So they're with the wrench group. So anyway, they were on our radar and I just let Jamie know. I said, I'm not for sale. And neither are my friends. And I work with my friends. There's no way I can go meet with this guy. I just, you know, and so that's what I said. So I went to, so anyway, he said one thing that really resonated with me. He said, Wyatt, that's great. And that's up to you, but just realize there's a consolidation going on. This is happening nationally, whether you want it to or not. You're either going to compete against it or you're going to join it.
This was this was 5 years ago.
Probably 4 years ago.
Got it. Okay.
Probably four.
Okay.
Whenever Jamie happened. So anyway, if you guys want to listen that up. So
okay.
It seems like 5 years ago. COVID kind of made me lose track of time. I mean, COVID's like throwing everything out, right?
I get
Yes.
So anyway, I went back and I didn't want to go out by myself because I didn't want to be too tempted. And anyway, so Jeremy and I both went together. We met with Ken Haynes at his place. Got a tour of his place and took us to dinner. Nice guy, really, really appreciate him. And it was a little bit depressing, to be honest with you, because I'm like, wow, this really is the consolidation thing is really happening. What do I do? What do we do? And I talked to Jeremy, and Jeremy said, I'll support you either way, whatever you decide. And we got a tour, a more in-depth tour the next day. He's wide open with us. And we kept in communication and we've talked over the years. But what we realized is they're right. The consolidation is happening. I mean, grocery stores have consolidated. Name one grocery store that's not part of a chain. The hardware stores, they've all consolidated. The mom-pop stores have all consolidated. And we are a mom-pop store. That's what we are. It's my wife, myself, you know, Jeremy's my brother-in-law. Mike Wilson's my brother-in-law. Lincoln's a great friend of mine. Dustin's a great friend. I work with my friends. Does that make sense? So yeah,
300 of your friends.
So yeah, so we're a mom pop store. That's what we have here. And so we started looking into all the different platforms. We talked to all the guys and we did not feel that there was a mom pop truly help the different businesses with by helping people and staying out of their lane type of a business out there. They have there's the model of really helping run the business. There's the model of just bringing anybody and everybody. There's the model of helping them with some HR, but there's not like truly leadership training at a high level that we've been doing in our business for years and recruiting and retention. And at the level we do, I mean, we've been sharing this with Stefan over at Nexstar, Julian, you know, Jack Tester, all these people. We've been sharing our retention and our recruiting and how we do all that. Cause I think that's the biggest key for having a company double the size of a company of our nearest competitor in the state of Utah. I think that's the biggest key is holding on, training and holding on to our people, hiring, training and holding on to our people. So anyway, so we really, really believe that we have something here and we felt the only regret I have is I wish we would have done it three or four years ago. I wish we would have just started to do it. I was just kind of a little afraid, but really the big thing that pushed me over the line was, you know, if we grow this business by $10 or $20 million for the rest of our career and say that I retire at 65, that's 16 more years. If we grow by $20 million a year, which we're not even growing by that this year, $20 million times 16 years is $320 million added to what we are now at 74-ish. Yeah. That's not a billion-dollar company. And we've been talking about building a billion-dollar company for about 10 years now. And Walt Disney, what pushed me over the edge is Walt Disney owned his own business. He owned the studios. But to be able to build Disneyland and Disney World, him and Roy Disney had to bring in investors. That's the only way they could do it. We would not. My kids love Disneyland. They absolutely love it. I don't know. Does your family love it?
I'll be there this weekend. My youngest daughter turned 7 today, and we celebrate at Disney. So I'll be there this weekend.
Nice. Well, we looked into ESOP, so all of our employees could own it. But those are penny stocks. Those will never get anybody anywhere.
And for our listeners, ESOP is employee stock owned. That's what that is. Okay.
We looked into that and. You know, but we really believe we have a great platform. We believe we want to bring in partners. So we're not, yes, the owners are cashing out a chunk of the business. Yes, they're bringing in some managers to own it. But they're also staying in there and owner of the business. And it's not, they didn't sell out. We're part of a group. I think everybody's doing it. A lot of people are doing the same way in a lot of ways. I get it. But they're all saying they're buying each other and they're all saying that they're bringing money back in. The reality is Walt Disney didn't get accused, even though him and Roy owned, you know, didn't own the whole thing. All of a sudden, they didn't get accused of selling out or bringing money back in. They stayed in. They stayed running it. These private equity companies, Knox Lane, they cannot run this business. They cannot. Yeah. Otherwise we'll turn into, you know, a house of cards really. And some of these will probably turn into a house of cards and fall if they're gobbling up businesses and not really being a tool to help those businesses improve and become more sound and be able to make it generation to generation. But anyway, we believe in we're partnering, and I understand that's how everybody else is doing it also, but let's change our terminology here. We're partnering, we're staying in, we're running our businesses. Now that doesn't mean there won't be a business like Plumline where the owner exits and Bob stayed back with John Heggie and those two, Bob's now running it. John is retired, but Bob's doing a great job running out there and he owns a piece of that business. And now they have additional managers that own it also. And that's all right. You know, 6 months ago, Jeremy and I were the owners of this business. Now I have 41 of us, count myself, that are owners of this business, just in any hour, plus the additional companies we brought in from Arizona and Idaho and Southern Utah that are now owners. And then they have, some managers also that are owners. And those are all, I would name those names, but they're all closing like literally this week and next week. So which will take us to about 130 million in a top line revenue as a group. So
incredible. That's awesome. Well, Paul, go ahead.
Well, it's so interesting that there's this narrative. So it's all about perception. And there's this narrative in the industry that there are only five or six viable options to, and I'll use air quotes here, partner or sell with someone. And that there's this big, ugly monster out there called outside private equity that's coming into the industry and it's going to create this house of cards. When the reality is you are able to use the outside private equity to create your own platform and create your own legacy instead of being a part of someone else's amazing journey or amazing story. So talk to me about how this move with your capital partner and this expansion and this growth to become a billion-dollar organization, how does that play into what you want your legacy to be?
You know, I really just want my legacy to be that I was there to help others have a better life. One day we're all going to die. So I just want my legacy to be that, you know, there's a quote I live by. It says, no success outside the home will compensate for failure in the home. If we succeed in our life, but we aren't a good steward of our family. If I'm successful, but I don't treat my family well, I think I failed. Okay. But the minute I chose to be a business owner, my family expanded.
That's good.
It expanded to be my people that I work with, my employees.
Yep.
The managers that work for me and with me are now part of my family. And no success that I have is going to compensate for failure in their life. You know, it's been a tough, you know, year and a half. COVID. We saw a lot of people trying to wonder if they should give up when COVID hit for a month or two or three. Mike Wilson came to me. You know, we kind of had a unique situation here in Utah. We not only had COVID hit, but about a week after COVID hit, we actually had an earthquake also. And it was scary. And Mike Wilson came to me and said, what do you want me to do with the budget? Should I cancel some things? Are we going to let some guys go? And I said, no. I said, let's renegotiate some contracts. Let's raise our budget and let's keep our people going. And we're going to get through this COVID, whatever comes our way, because we're going to take care of our people. As a business owner, my family's my family, but our people are in that umbrella. I'm working right now. You know, you guys, I made enough money to retire by the time I was 35, you guys. I'm 49 now. I now have 40 managers that are owners of the company, plus the companies we bring. I'm here to work hard to help them succeed. They make great paychecks, but they don't have owner kind of money. I'm excited for us to trade out our private equity every 3 years, give or take a year, and trade out our private equity. And Knox Lane's a great partner. They're giving us some great tools, but we're going to be trading them out.
Yep. They'll be happy to help you find a new home.
Absolutely. And the companies that join with me, we're going to continue on our way. And we will trade out that private equity every 3 years, give or take a year. And Knox Lane does not take any dividend. No private equity takes that dividend or anything. They only make their money, as you guys know, but for the listeners, as that pie grows bigger. So we're going to grow that pie bigger. They're going to exit out. They'll make their money. We'll bring another private equity. But what's awesome is, and I think, you know, Ken Gooder, you've had a lot of people on here, but for the ones that haven't, maybe listen, you know, our managers have an opportunity for their shares to grow. Every time we trade out that private equity, those shares grow if we are growing organically and if we are making good decisions on who we're bringing in and if we're doing this right. So that allows them to create wealth for themselves, for their families. And we're going to do that three or four times. And then we're going to decide, are we going to take this to a company like a Blackstone that might hold us and we get dividends, or are we going to, you know, take it to public? But that's something we'll just have to decide then in the next 10 or 12 years as we just keep building this nationally to $5 billion.
I love it.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. I'll tell you what, something that I think speaks volumes for an organization, and specifically yours, is retention of staff, retention of employees. And I think I heard somewhere yours is like 85% or some crazy high number for the big volume you've got. Like, that's fantastic.
It's over 90% retention. That's counting the office staff also. And it is the 85% number is back when I was recruiting. If we had everybody stand up in the room, if I take you into our training room during a training and I say, everybody stand up. If you were referred here by someone that's still here, stand up. And 85% of the people would stand up. I actually had a company out here from California just yesterday. And I said to him, should we go ahead and do that and see kind of where we're at now? And so we went into the heating and air training yesterday morning and I asked them to do that. And 50% of the people stood up that were referred. So it is changing some now that we have so much of the online recruiting and a lot of the tools that way that we're doing differently than we used to do.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, that's a great number. And it just, like I said, that's what speaks volumes. I said the same thing to like our, you know, we have our company Christmas party this past Friday. And I love to say to them what our retention rate of our customers is. And that speaks volumes about the work that we put out, is because people don't leave if they're happy and we're producing, we're doing our job, those types of things. It's the same thing with your employees. Obviously we can't do those things without having the employees, and we want to keep them and care about them. And like to your point, their family, and we treat them as such and care about them just like that too. And if you're genuine about those things and you're genuinely want to make them better at their jobs, giving them education, or you say, give them the tools to be better at their job or do their job, you know, as best they can, people don't want to leave, you know. And you, I think that you can't fake that feeling. Like you can only fake it so long if you don't really care about somebody. Like that's not ever going to work. So if it's coming from a place of genuinely caring about you wanting to serve them and serve the customers, and you're trying to give them anything and everything you possibly can, I don't think the number changes. So even as the company grows, though, you have to maintain that same, you know, you have to kind of maintain those same values to scale with it, because you certainly can't do it without them. And so anyway, I commend you, you know, on a job well done. I know you have still got a decent chunk of runway ahead of you that you're excited to go after. I'm excited to watch it all go down. I'm excited for you to come down to Rhino X and be able to actually connect with you. Terry will be here too, which is cool. So I'm glad that you'll have that. Actually quite a few people, but congrats, man. I think it's a great, it's one of those cool stories to hear, just another one. I'm sure there's going to be lots of people listening right now that have wanted to hear this story from you specifically and understand what happened with NER and what's going on. And I'm glad that we could be the platform for you to share that success. So Wyatt, appreciate you so much.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Paul, you got anything else, buddy?
No. Did you have Yossi out to visit you?
I'm not sure.
From Monkey Wrench? Sorry, I thought it was
No.
Oh, okay. It's a small industry, so you can edit that out, Chris. That was a random question. But no, thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for just kind of inspiring us on what's possible out there and you know, just being a great light in the industry. So thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Do you mind if I leave my contact information if anyone wants to? And just so you know, if anyone does come out to visit, we won't even talk about the partnership. If you guys don't want to talk about it, we have so many people coming out that they wouldn't even, our people just see people coming through. They don't even know. Sure. They just know people come and see us. So, but if you do want to come and visit, you get a hold of me. If you want to talk about the partnership side, I'm willing to talk about that or not, you know, it's up to you guys. We're just here to share and give back. But my email is wyatt.heptworth@gmail.com. So it's my name, wyatt.heptworth@gmail.com. And my number is, and you're more welcome to text me and we can set up a time to talk, 801-471-9505. So anyway, thanks you guys. Appreciate your time and excited to get down there and see you guys. And Chris, absolutely excited about doing a partnership with you, actually, with taking this thing national. I think we need the help. So
likewise, I'm excited to talk to Mike about it too. Hey, I want to go ahead and, well, thank you first off. And again, thanks for sharing your contact information. Obviously listeners, take them up on it, you know, especially if you have questions or whatever, like no pressure, but go check out the shop, go talk to whatever. I want to ask you just one last question, Wyatt. I think this is like the most appropriate ending to this particular podcast before I read the review. is Paul a red, blue, yellow, or white?
Holy cow, you'd ask me that.
Based on how closely you've been listening.
Based on what you know, and I recognize that, based on what you know, what is Paul? And I'll tell you what, I think I'm pretty sure, well, I know which one I am, but what do you think Paul is?
I have no earthly clue. But I will say this. If you both will fly out here next week, I will take you on a tour of the place, and I will be able to guess that by the end of the tour.
The irony is when this airs, I will actually be in Park City on a ski trip. So there might be a text exchanged that happened in the past, I guess, to coordinate seeing you out there. So I will be there.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Well, neither one of you answered my question, but okay. So I think that Paul would be white. I think Paul's a peacekeeper.
Absolutely.
But if you just saw Paul at the Rhino Christmas party last year, he'd be a yellow because he can be fun. It's just not very often. I'm kidding.
In small spurts.
Hey, Wyatt, thanks again so much. I appreciate you up tall, Paul. Thanks for some of the thoughtful questions that you asked and kind of poking and prodding a little bit and let me beat up on you. I haven't beat up on you very much, Paul. I need to get back to that. I'm pretty sure that we're going to start getting negative reviews because I don't do it enough. I got to speak up on that. And so speaking of reviews, I'll go ahead and, like we normally do, finish with a quick review from Thomas Spall. A five-star review. It just says professionalism. The Rhino to the Point podcast is a phenomenal information resource for leaders in the home services industry. They bring topics to the table that are of ultimate relevance at this point in time. I highly recommend this to every home service industry leader. Great job, Chris and Tall Paul.
Thomas.
Thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate you so much. Wyatt, thanks again, brother. I appreciate it. I'm going to shoot you a text probably in the next few days or so. And listen, I'm just grateful that you came and shared your story. And again, congrats on all the success. I'm happy for you and all that you've accomplished. So to our listeners, do not forget, in 2022, this year, you have all these months ahead of you that you don't have to have it all figured out, and you have people willing to help, just like Wyatt. He gave you his contact info. He told you what he did. He spent like a year on the road going to all these places, staying in hotels. He had to put in a little bit of work to try and make his business better. You should go and do likewise. He gave it to you. Reach out. Until next time, we'll see you. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you.